follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time for Star Power Hour, brought to you by ForTalent.com. We'll cover what's hot in the arts and entertainment industry. Our guests will talk about projects they're currently working on and what they're about to do next. You don't want to miss today's show. Now, here is your host, James Barber.
Hey guys, this is James Barber for the Star Power Hour. Welcome back to this week's amazing show. We're on VoiceAmerica.com on the Empowerment Channel. We're on the Empowerment Channel, and we're an entertainment, arts and entertainment show. I don't know why. Why? Because we empower people. I had my buddy Grant Cardone on. He was like, come on, we got to get empowered, people. Come on, get up going. Anyway, last week we had the amazing Marisol Nichols, who is a dear friend and is just a powerhouse. And, you know, somebody said, they tweeted in, it's like, you know, why are you such a kick-ass actress? You know, it was a cool thing. And we had a great response. It was amazing. We talked about all kinds of things from, you know, parenting to swimming to acting to, you know, and behind the scenes stuff, which is what we talk about. Not behind the scenes gossip crap, because I hate that crap. It's more like, hey, what were the struggles getting to where you're going? What can we do in the arts and entertainment industry to really buoy ourselves up and reach our dreams? And how are we as people? You know, because I have all these amazing stars and celebrities on, but guess what? They're people, right? And we get to see the real individual. So I am Jazzy Jazzed. Maybe that's going to be my new handle, Jazzy Jazz. And I'll do jazz hands and black light and, like, tap shoes. Would that – I think that would be horrible. I think people would run from me. But I am Jazzed because I have another good friend who is, I think – talk about diverse, but, you know, well, I'll get into that in a minute. But I think one of the funniest actresses that we have, television and film today, specifically television, because that's where she's really come out and shined in terms of the comedy, and that is the amazing Jennifer Aspin. Are you there?
I'm so here. I'm not a singer, but I'm just pretending I'm a singer for your show.
Well, thank you. We've been hanging out with Chenoweth a lot, so, you know,
yeah,
how does that not rub off?
All her tricks. I sing almost as good as Chris and Chenoweth now because we've been friends for 2 years. If you just hang out with her a lot, that voice, it just seeps right on to me.
Yeah. You know what's amazing? When I hang out with her, I actually get shorter. And she gets taller. She's now, she's almost 6 foot, and I'm about 5'4".
Yeah, that happens with men. When she hangs out with men, they get shorter. But if you are a woman, you end up getting her same kind of voice.
I love it.
Are you ready for me to debut it?
Yeah, do it.
I'm not doing it. This is an untrue statement. I'm very happy to be here, and I'm very excited.
Oh, well, I'm excited that you're excited and happy that you're happy.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, you know, one of the questions, you know, we put out to Twitter land, you know, basically, you know, ask your questions to the amazing Jennifer Aspin. And one of the.
I'm in a very honest mood today.
I like honest.
I don't really have a governor today.
That's, you know, hey, we're in California. Do we really have a governor? I mean, that's the question. You know what? Honestly.
I can't comment. Do we? I mean, it's political.
I don't pay attention to politics anymore. Who's the president? Really?
Honestly, does it matter?
You know what? That's the thing. I don't think it does.
You know what? It does matter who's the president, and I always vote. But I tend to think that special interests, particularly pharmaceutical companies, oil companies, they have their hands in everybody's campaign, right, left. It doesn't matter. They're appealing to you with different ways. You know, each political campaign appeals to you in different ways. However, the same influences are influencing both sides.
Yeah, there's no question.
There's
look, here's the thing. You know, I'm a big non-Monsanto person, the big GMO, you know.
Yes.
You know, they came out with like, was it an apple or a peach? And they crossed it with some sort of, you know, ice fish so that the thing wouldn't freeze. So I'm like eating some sort of peach or tomato or something that's got a fish in it with chemicals.
Ridiculous. Here, let me tell you something. My parents are scientists, okay? Both of them.
Uh-huh.
Now, cross-pollination of flowers and plants has been going on for a long time. That's just like where you, like, take a little of their pollen and you put it in a thing and maybe you get, like, a pear apple, right?
Right.
But this a modifying of the genes is insanity. There is no way to even see how it will affect like 10, 20 decades from now. You just don't know. So these people that are like, no, this is a great idea. We're going to put ice fish in our frickin' things, in our pear apples, so it won't freeze. It's probably great for you. No,
yeah.
It's probably not.
I'm going to grow a damn fin on the back of my neck.
I have a
and
second,
I can swim in
a
the
third
Arctic.
Arm right now.
That's what's going to happen.
It's handy, so thank you, Monsanto, because I have a third arm that I can now get extra projects done with. So
yeah,
on the
exactly.
one hand, I love Monsanto because they've altered my body permanently.
Yeah, I love it. I can now wear skirts. I was saying when you modify genes, it's like when Calvin Klein and Guess
came
together.
I knew you were going there. I'm not even going to let you lay down that bad joke.
Oh, my God, you're ahead of me. You're like 400 steps ahead. It's the comedy genius. But that's what I was going to – no, I totally agree with you. And that's the – it's special interest. It's totally special interest. It's money. And the problem – you know, there's a show called 1776, right? It's a musical. But
mm-hmm.
I became – the cool thing about being an actor for me mm-hmm. is that I get to become and learn about all these different people.
Totally.
You know, if it's a new piece, obviously, if it's newly written and the writer's writing it and it's not based on anything historical or something like that, you know, you're finding new things. But – these other characters that I play, I've played historical characters many times. I played Thomas Jefferson and Edward mm-hmm. Rutledge, who was a guy from South Carolina. But, you know, I become a history buff in many ways. And you look at the Continental Congress, and mm-hmm. even though there were special interests at that point, mm-hmm. these guys were sometimes traveling, you know, weeks, days and weeks at a time to get to Philadelphia
uh-huh.
to make decisions on freedom for people.
Yes.
Now, sure, there was still special interests, but it wasn't, hey, you know what? I'm going to put $200 billion in your pocket so you can vote for this, and then you give me the contract to drill the oil in okay. this place, and then I'm going to inject your food with some chemicals.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, sure. Just give me the money. You
yeah.
know, I can't stand it.
I can't stand it either. I don't believe anybody, but I totally have hope.
I know, but I believe you. Why? Because you said you're being honest today, because you have no governor.
I don't.
I believe you. I believe you. And here's the question that came in. The question that one of many was, and I think it's a cool one because we have
this
a lot
the
of
Twitter questions, right?
Yeah, this was a Twitter question that came
Great.
In via email. The Star Power, not the Star, but starpowerhour@gmail.com
yeah.
is the thing. So one of the questions that came in was, you have such a diverse background. And, you know, for those people that don't know you, which I can't imagine they wouldn't, you have done, I mean, we talked about GCB with Chenoweth and Marisol,
uh-huh.
right? And you've done what? Name some of the other things. I don't have your resume popped up. Glee. You've done Glee.
Yeah.
You've done series regulars and like 7,000.
I've been a series regular on six different shows, like actual shows that made it on the air. And I've guest starred on pretty much everything you can imagine, from Friends, yeah. Will and Grace. Grey's Anatomy, CSI. I mean, I feel like The Closer, Glee. I was part of the first seminal season. I recurred on that. I did many episodes.
I'm a buddy,
of
Matt
that.
Morris. You know, Matt Morrison's a big Broadway guy.
Well, I know Matt Morrison's a big Broadway guy, and I knew him when because, you know, he and I screen tested together because originally I screen tested to play Terry Schuster, his wife.
Wow.
So he and I did a screen test together before the pilot was even shot because I was going to play his wife, and he was so sweet, and they flew him in from New York, and he was like, he just loved me, and I loved him, and I was so sad because I didn't end up playing Terry Schuster, but then Ryan Murphy who so many people say, I'm going to write you a role, and I'm like, great, and then it never happens. But Ryan Murphy was actually like, you're so brilliant. I'm sorry, this didn't work out, but I'm going to write you into Glee. I'm going to write you into this show. And he wrote this, like, geniusly ridiculous character of Kendra, and I just got a call one day, and they're like, so Ryan actually wrote you into the show. I couldn't believe it. I was so happy and excited. But, yes, I knew Matt Morrison when.
Yeah, and I knew him when he first got to New York, and we did the reading of the musical Tarzan together. He played Tarzan.
Get out of here.
Yeah, he's awesome. I mean, and I ran into the gym. I ran into him in the gym, like, what, a year and a half ago. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's good to see you, man. He's like, I'm like, what do you want? What are you doing? He goes, oh, I got to fly to New York. I got to go on Letterman. I was like, could you imagine, like, 10 years ago when we were sitting in New York and you're like, I'm just going to fly to see Letterman. He's an awesome guy, the nicest guy on the planet, which is really cool. But here's the question.
What's the question?
Jeez. The question is, and I only have, like, 2.5 minutes for the first segment, so we may come back and ask you more. Well, we're going to come back and ask you more.
So.
Maybe we'll leave it as a cliffhanger.
Okay.
But the question is, because of your diversity – you know, I mean, your comedy, Jen, is, you're off the charts. You're freaking hilarious.
Thank you.
Then you also do drama. I mean, the films you've done, some of the films you've done are serious dramas, others. And, you know, I mean, it's massive. So the question was, which do you like doing better?
I am equally in love with them because here's the thing. I just like great storytelling.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I also, first of all, I was known on Party of Five. That's really where I broke out. And that was a heavy drama. I was crying like all week long every week on that show. You know, that's the storyline.
Yeah.
And it was so fulfilling because it meant so much to me. So really the thing is in comedy, when people are laughing and when I'm doing it, that means so much to me. So I just really love to tell stories. And when they are significant and matter to people, that's what I love. So whether it's dramatic or comedic, I equally feel rewarded to be able to do something great that people enjoy. That's the honest answer. As long as I feel like it's impinging and it's great and people are laughing or crying or enraptured in the story you're telling, I'm so happy. I'm grateful to be a part of something like that.
Yeah, it's amazing that, because I think so often, you know, this industry is a very difficult industry, and I talk about that to people all the time, right? It's very fickle. I say it's the only profession where you can legally discriminate. They literally can look at you and say, I'm sorry, you're black, you can't have the job. I'm sorry, you know, I'm 6'4". I'm sorry, you're too tall, you can't have the job.
Oh.
And, you know, and oftentimes it doesn't come down to talent. It comes down to other things.
I can speak on that.
Yeah, and we will speak on that when we come back. I'm going to take the first break here, and we'll come back with more amazing Jennifer Aspin, because I want to talk more about what you just talked about in terms of story and fulfillment and getting the story out there, because that's a very, very important thing, not only for people in the industry, a lot of theater people and Broadway people and now film and TV people listen to the show, but also we have people that are not in the industry at all. We have a big following, obviously. Inside that world. And I think it's really important to talk about that. So listen, we're going to take our first break right now. We will be right back. Do not eat a donut. I'll tell you why I say that, Jen, in a second. Don't eat a donut on the break. We'll be right back. This is James Barber with more Star Power Hour. Stay tuned.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Everybody has a dream. For some, that dream is to become an actor, comedian, or dancer. Others dream of signing a recording contract, being on Broadway, or directing their own film. Now those dreams can come true, because on 4talent.com, we turn the spotlight on talent. On 4talent.com, everyone can participate in online contests and festivals. Log on and get into exclusive interviews with industry experts, create personal scrapbooks and photo albums, plus communicate with other members who share your passions. So what are you waiting for? Whether you're an artist or a fan, sign up today. Membership is free. Join today, and you just might be one of the people who get to say,
I got my break on 4talent.com, and you can too.
Build a better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
You You are tuned in to Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4talent.com. Your host is James Barber. If you'd like more information about 4talent.com and what we do, just log on to our website at 4talent.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, so listen, just give me a Krispy Kreme. I just want, no, Krispy Kreme. No, the Krispy Kreme, the glaze. I need a glaze, Krispy Kreme. Sorry. No, sorry. That was me. Yes. No, I'm not eating Krispy Kremes. Jen,
I'm not eating
tell you,
Krispy Kreme. People that follow me on Twitter know I don't do sugar.
I know. You're so smart. I'm cutting the sugar out. I went to the doctor because when I was in Korea, I was in Korea for 2 months directing this show.
Uh-huh.
And the food over there is amazing, right? Talk about non-GMO. I mean, it's like, you know, that doesn't enter into the world over there, right?
Wow.
Just a little bit. But, you know, it's amazing. But I got like, I gained like close to 11 pounds. It's got to be. Because I'm sitting cross-legged and I'm directing, so I'm not moving, and I'm eating this Korean barbecue. And they have Krispy Kreme over there. There's Krispy Kreme in Korea. And so the producer, Chris Choi, great guy, he would always go, oh, James, come on, let's go. We have a meeting. And I'm like, where are we meeting? Some cool restaurant? Krispy Kreme. I'm like, kidding me? And it's exactly the same.
Oh.
So I tell my people, because I'm on this whole non-sugar thing.
Yeah.
I went to do this Broadway show. That's where, you know, Dane and I and the kids were gone for 6 months because we were in New York waiting to do this Broadway show, Rebecca, and it didn't end up happening.
Uh-huh.
And I had to lose a lot of weight for the show. So I got on this thing, this kick, and I tried to get the fan base to come on with me, and we're going to get healthy and get fit, and then they would get tickets to the show, you know, and do all these giveaways.
Uh-huh. So
I'm totally on board with you. So that's why I say don't eat a donut to my listeners, because I'm trying to get them healthy.
Oh, listen, I haven't eaten sugar on purpose in almost 20 years.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, here's the thing. Let me see if I can just illuminate the subject for a second. What people don't know is that your body processes sugar very similarly to the way it processes heroin. It's a very addictive substance, and it's actually classified as an anti-nutrient. You will die faster having, you know, I'm talking like refined sugar and water. That if you were drinking that, you'd die faster than if you were just drinking water. It takes life out of you when you ingest it. That's why you have a sugar high and then a crash, because you have less nutrients after you've had it than before you've had it. And the last time I ate like a serious amount of sugar, because I was like, I'm in Hawaii, I should have a Mai Tai, which is just all high fructose corn syrup juice, basically, with some rum.
Yeah.
I ended up crying and yelling on the street at my boyfriend that I was the television star, and then got picked up and mistaken for being a prostitute. So that's the last time... I really
no way.
Sugar. It just doesn't go well on me.
Don't eat sugar because you'll be picked up for being a prostitute. That's really what the moral is.
Right. 1,000%. And I didn't know what the guy was saying. By the way, if someone says to you as a woman, if they go, are you dating in Honolulu? That means, are you a prostitute? But I didn't know that's what it meant. So he said, are you dating? And I thought it meant, do you have a boyfriend? And so he goes, are you dating? And I said, yeah. Tears running down my face. And he's like, how much? And I go, oh, no. I meant I have a boyfriend. No. I'm an actress. I'm on television. That's the last time I had sugar.
God. Look, you're absolutely right. There's a woman that I work with. I build a team of this health and wellness thing. And the woman that runs it, her name is Deanna. Well, she doesn't run it. She's one of the builders of this company. Her name's Deanna Latson, and she actually took on Pepsi to try to get – they actually had her come in and speak. And she's like, why are you paying me to come in? I'm the enemy, because I want to eradicate, you know, these things.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, we want to know what you think. So they paid her all this money, and then she donated it to the California Initiative to Remove Sodas from Schools.
Uh-huh.
And she says this. She says, you know, cancer loves sugar. And,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I'm on a massive, massive kick to get rid of that kind of stuff. Because if you look at kids, you know, and I got kids and, you know, you got kid. And when you look at the effect that sugar has on children, you know, it's part of the reason why this, you know, blah, 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 ADD, blah, blah, blah. You know what? Get the kid focused. 100%. Get them on good food, stop eating the sugar, and get them interested in something that they can actually pay attention to.
Yeah,
it's these refined sugars. Yeah, the refined sugars are killing people.
No, and by the way, this is a note to your listeners. Don't, like, go from no sugar to then artificial chemical sweeteners.
Right.
Because those are terrible as well. You really just have to, you know, find your local health food store, and they have sweeteners that, you know, they use concentrated fruit juice or molasses or maple syrup or, you know.
Why do you like the stevia? Do you like stevia?
I love stevia. I'm, you know, I tweet about it all the time.
You too.
I think it's totally great. I have it every day. I'm fine. I mean, I have sweet things. You know,
yeah.
I don't not have sweet things. I just choose them carefully.
Yeah.
Now,
fruit.
I feel like we need to, you know, well, people just need to be informed on this topic and find out for themselves and then decide what they want to put in their bodies, and I think it's a good thing to know. However, I'm feeling a little guilty because I feel like we have to get back to these questions that these hard-earned followers have asked. I want to answer, because I have to tell you, I love my Twitter family. I love it. So I want to honor them. What do they want to know?
They want to know a lot of stuff. Here's one of the other questions. This came from, who is this person? Mama's Baby Regal. Mama's Baby Regal on Twitter. And it's the title is Adam, We Love You, Mama's Baby Regal. But the question is, Jen, who is your favorite cast member from GCB?
Oh my God, I could never answer that question. I think there was a slew of significantly marvelous cast members on that show. I mean, I'm deeply in love with really all but one. I won't say who that person is.
Well, it can't be me because I was never on the show.
No, it's not you. There was one person I did not care for, but every single other person, which tell you a lot, that's a big cast. Every other person, I mean, I'm still in touch with pretty much everyone. Love them.
Yeah.
Love them.
Well, I know you tweet about it all the time. Like you and Chenoweth and Marisol, you're hanging out.
Marisol,
and doing
yes. And I love Miriam Shore, and I love Annie Potts, and I love Brad Beyer, who played my husband. He just had a baby. And I love Mark Declan. He's magnificent. I mean, I love these people, truly. So I can't say a favorite. Kristen Chenoweth fans are going to be like, it's Kristen. We love her. That's what they actually want to hear because they love her so much. But I cannot pick favorites.
But she came to New York just a little bit after I did, and you know, I've known her for so long, and I remember just how she just exploded. You know, I remember going to see one of her first shows, and she was doing a little workshop when I was rehearsing another show, and just an amazing, amazingly talented person and funny as all.
Talented, it's really jaw dropping. That is a God given gift. That is something what she's got. Yeah,
it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. All right, another question for you. I'm just going to throw through questions. This one, and I like this one because it talks about one of the things I talk about with young performers is, you know, they're like, well, what should I do? Should I go, you know, should I go to this school? Should I go here? Should I do this? Should I go to school? Should I go to get my master's? You went to UCLA.
I did.
The question was, how did you find the program and how would you choose a program, or what would you do to say to, you know, a young actor who wants to study this? Should they go to college? What do you think of that sort of thing?
Well, you know, advising people on what they should do to get into acting is always such a tricky thing. I have to say, I can say what I did.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you have to become, as a person, really good at knowing what's right for you. You know, some things work for some people and some things don't work for others. And you really have to be your own guide when you take a look at a program and be like, this is for me. This is going to enhance me as a person and as an artist, or I don't feel right about it. You have to be able to take your own temperature. You know, it's because this business, as I know you talk about, I mean, this business is really, it's you taking a look at things and making many important decisions on what's right and what's not.
Right.
So you have to become, like, really the captain of your own ship in that way. So what I did is, you know, I got into acting. I don't know that you know this, but I started in musicals, and I was in high school, and I didn't know that I didn't know that acting is what I wanted to do. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And in retrospect, as a kid, I was always dressing up as characters, and I loved books and stories.
Right.
But I didn't know that that was acting, you know?
Yeah.
It's just something I really, really like to do and play pretend. And, I mean, but I would fully get into character and go out on the street and be like, I'm Jennifer's twin sister, Julie. Like, I would fully get, I'm Pippi Longstocking. I would really, really get into it. So in high school, I overheard what I thought were cheerleaders practicing a routine.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I went down there. It turns out they were learning a number to audition for the spring musical, which was How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying.
Awesome.
And someone said, you'd be so good at this part, Hedy LaRue. You should do a monologue. And I was like, what's a monologue? And this very kind person, her name's Liz Barron, marvelous singer, marvelous girl, she walked me through, and I auditioned with a monologue from Bus Stop. And I sang Happy Birthday at my singing audition, and I landed the role of Hedy LaRue in How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I did it. And the reason I knew it was for me is because when I was about to make my entrance every night, no matter what, I was so excited that I would always have to pee. And I would go to the bathroom well before I had to get to my spot to make my entrance, but it didn't matter. That's how excited I was every time right before my entrance. And then when I would come out and perform, I would just glow with happiness. It was like, it really was like as if the choir of angels was going, ah, you know?
Yeah,
that's what it felt like to perform, and that's why I knew it was something I wanted to pursue, is because I felt so different doing that than doing anything else I had ever looked at, you know?
Yeah,
and so
it's pretty amazing.
I pursued acting because it felt so special to me, and I was, I mean, I was good at it, you know, I wasn't, that's the other thing, you do have to take the temperature, like, do I have this skill, you know? And it was something I loved, and it was something I had a skill to do. So I went to UCLA. I remember asking my guidance counselor, by the way. They were like, well, you know, your career counselor, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, I really like this acting thing. And she was like, no, like as a career. So it's like, wasn't even. I was like, well, I guess I'll take typing class, which in retrospect, I'm glad I did because of the internet now. But anyway, so I found out, like, oh, people do this. Oh, you can go to college for this and get a degree. And, you know, so that's why I pursued that. Was I was with a lot of people that were pursuing college degrees. And when I found out that acting was something you could do, I thought, well, that sounds great. So I went to UCLA. And the thing I liked about that program was that I learned everything about theater. I learned about, it's a theater degree, so I learned about costumes and lighting and writing and the history of theater and why theater came about and storytelling and the importance of that. And so all of those things in that program made me respect and admire this profession, you know?
Yeah. Hey, Jen,
I did not get into acting because I saw people on red carpets living a fabulous life, supposedly.
Well, hold that thought, because we got to take our second break here,
because
I want to talk about that. Yeah,
much.
Totally fine. No, I do the same thing. Listen, we'll be right back. I have a specific question for you on that when we come back. This is James Barber with the amazing Jennifer Aspin on the Star Power Hour. Stay tuned. Do not edit Krispy Kreme. We'll be right back.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
Everybody has a dream. For some, that dream is to become an actor, comedian, or dancer. Others dream of signing a recording contract, being on Broadway, or directing their own film. Now those dreams can come true, because on 4Talent.com, we turn the spotlight on talent. On 4Talent.com, everyone can participate in online contests and festivals. Log on and get into exclusive interviews with industry experts, create personal scrapbooks and photo albums, plus communicate with other members who share your passions. So what are you waiting for? Whether you're an artist or a fan, sign up today. Membership is free. Join today, and you just might be one of the people who get to say,
I got my break on 4Talent.com, and you can too.
Wealth Solutions for the 99% is a weekly talk show focused on helping you develop and execute a game plan to build wealth. Your host, Paul LaJoy, who built a $50 million plus company in less than 5 years, believes it's impossible to be poor in America, and he'll show you why with his innovative strategies. Joining Paul as co-host is radio personality Kim Reed, an experienced entrepreneur and corporate leader who's known as the Corporatepreneur. The show is upbeat, fun, and informative. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are tuned in to Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4Talent.com. Your host is James Barber. If you'd like more information about 4Talent.com and what we do, just log on to our website at 4Talent.com. Now, back to the show.
Hey, welcome back. This is James Barber on the Star Power Hour with the unbelievable Jennifer Aspen. And we're talking about some pretty cool stuff. And you know, she mentioned UCLA, and we talked about, you know, why people, or why she chose this profession. And it's sort of the same thing that I did. It was, in many ways, it was a freedom for me. I could get out there, and I did the same thing you did. I was like, wow, I can go and I would spend time in the woods, because I grew up on, you grew up on, you were born on the East Coast, weren't you?
Well, I was born in Richmond, Virginia, but I pretty quickly then grew up in Prescott, Arizona, and then Santa Cruz, California. I'm really West trash.
White trash, yeah. Well, I'm from Southern New Jersey. That's where they talk like that, outside of Philadelphia. But I spent my days, you know, after school, I would have 2 acres of woods in my backyard, and I would just go out and create all these different characters. And I was like,
yeah,
man, I can be anybody.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I sort of did it the same reason. It was like this. There was this thing, and then I realized that there was a responsibility as a performer that we have to the audience. It's what you said, you know, as long as what you're doing is moving people and the script is good, which is going to be another question that somebody asked and sent in a second. Uh-huh. But I wanted to mention something because, you know, I did a thing at the Geffen Playhouse that Gil Cates directed.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he passed away a couple of years ago, but he said, Jimmy, I'm your Jew mentor. This is what I'm doing. I'm your Jew mentor. And he was instrumental in that UCLA program,
and
I asked you before when we were off air if you were there when he was there. And
yeah, he ran the whole theater program, and
yeah.
I think part, you know, he's such an intelligent man and had such a respect for the arts. I think that's why the program at that time was so well rounded. You know, he made sure that you were learning about the breadth of this world.
Yeah.
And he brought in Peter Sellers, who's an incredible an incredible director of like amazing artistic musical theater. I mean, he would bring in these, Debbie Allen came in and did a show there when I was there. He really he just really loves and respected the arts. I thought I really benefited from him running that program. He was tremendous.
Yeah, incredible guy, and
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just, you know, it's just sad that he's gone.
You know, that happens. You know, we
it
have
does.
These like great, great artists, and they leave behind a legacy, which is incredible when they pass.
Yeah,
and we just have to be grateful for that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and you know, I talk about that too. It's, you know, so often people are focused, and I think, and I try to talk to people about this, it's career, 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 and people push people out of the way to get places. And my encouragement is to have people look at the journey and the joy of it, because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it happens to all of us. You know, our bodies will, you know, stop functioning at some point. And what is it that we're leaving? You know,
uh-huh.
are we leaving this legacy? Are we happy with our lives? Are we happy with ourselves and our families? And moreover, are we happy with the things that we've done? And my thing is helping other people. I want to, you know, I've been through shit, man. I've been through hell and back again.
Amazing.
And, you know, and so for me, I never focus on that. I focus on rising up
uh-huh.
and pushing forward and trying to make the world a better place. And that, to me, Gil did that. And
yes, he did.
Yeah.
He did. And, you know, speaking on that in sort of encompassing, you know, the question of the Twitter guy who was saying, I think it was a guy, maybe it was a girl, you know, should I get into acting and what do I do and all of that. I just wanted to speak to that because, you know, this is something to get into because you love to and you have a skill to perform and tell stories and like a great love for it. Because this business, you are constantly on a job search. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have no job one moment. You have like an incredible job a week later. And then they will always come to an end in a shorter time frame than it is having a regular job. And I remember when the recession hit, whatever that was that 7 years ago now or something?
Yeah. It was like 2008, 2009. It was right after Obama came into office, right?
Yeah, and a person not in the acting business was like, I keep having to apply for jobs, right? And I was like, I do that all the time. That is like, that's what I do, you know? It's such a, you have to have like so much drive and love for what you're going for because you're going to be told no all the time. I know everybody says that. It's totally true. You have your heart broken because you fall in love with these projects you want to do, and you go out and you try to earn them, and a lot of times you don't get that, and your heart's broken and you cry for a little bit, and then you've got to pick yourself back up and go again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
And this business is like you have to love those moments and love creating those characters and telling that story. Otherwise, you're going to get beat down and you're going to have, like, what are you doing? What are you chasing? If you're not chasing that joy, then there's no reason to get into this business. If you're chasing something that is more material of an idea, which is I want to have this life you know, they like to present, which is like wonderful clothes and cars and red carpet events and parties and, you know, all of that stuff. That's not the majority of what this is at all. So if you're chasing sort of a material aspect of what you think this is, oh, you're just going to be heartbroken. But if you're chasing this business because spiritually you love it and you've got to do it, then you're going to have some rewards that are going to be really lovely. But the gauge of why are you looking at, you know, doing it? Why? Because you have to, because you love to entertain? Okay, great. You have a skill for it? Marvelous. That's an important part, you know. But if you're doing it because of you want to look a certain way or have certain things of fame or notoriety, that's not what it's about.
It's not what it's about.
Very disappointed.
Yeah, and you know, and when you think about longevity, it's another thing that I think is amazing about your careers. I mean, you're still very young, but you've had an amazing career, and you're still going, and it creates longevity. And I look at actors like that, you know, and say, wow, you know. And there's long, and I think it's for a couple of reasons. Number one, obviously the talent is there, and the talent builds. You know, you have to have talent, but you also have to cultivate it and work on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also the tenacity, and I think it's also knowing you. It's your ability to look at life in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because so often I look at people and they get down and they get, you know, they take things personally. Well, yeah, things happen to us. You know, we get rejected in this industry, but we have to look at it and say, great. Okay, good. I understand that. Good. I'm going to pick myself up and I'm going to keep going. And it's amazing to me. And it's one of the reasons that, well, not just one of the reasons I wanted you on the show, because you have this amazing outlook on life and you have such an amazing ability in this industry. And I talk about it too when I'll do master's classes, because what is it? Less than 0.1% of actors are actually employed and working. I think it is. And
I never listen to those statistics.
Yeah, I do, because
from the
beginning,
I never listened to it because people wanted to tell me that
from
the beginning, you know, are you sure you want to do this? Because this percentage of people are the only percentage of people working. I was like, screw it. I don't even care. I don't even care about that number. It doesn't mean anything to me.
Right. And that's why I throw it out there, quite frankly, because people will say to me, well, you know, I'm going to go to school, but I'm going to get a degree in this and this and this just in case I have something to fall back on. And I said to them, you know what? If you don't love this enough to focus 100% of your energy on it, you shouldn't do it. You need to have that drive. And I'm, you know, and I play devil's advocate, you know, and then I say, but this is the best profession in the world. It's
that's
the most
great profession. I mean,
yeah.
I want to say something to your listeners. Just, I mean, I do have a good outlook on life, but I definitely do. And I'm definitely a freaking fighter. Okay. I know how to pull myself up by the bootstraps. Right. And I have been thoroughly challenged in this industry as a person and as an actress.
Yeah.
And, but I want to say to your listeners, I cry. Like, I'll get some bad news or I'll lose something that meant something to me and I'll cry because I fell in love, you know, and then my heart gets broken.
Yeah.
And then I pick myself back up. But I don't not like I invest in something.
Yeah.
And when you lose it, it hurts. And then I go create something else, right?
Yeah.
And that is the important leg that has to happen. You can't park in a loss. But I just want your listeners to know, I feel that loss. Like when, like the last series that I did, GCB, that character, that show, that world was something I'd been looking for a long time. And I was in love with that character, the writing, the stories, the people involved. And when it was canceled, which I did not expect it to be, I cried for like 2 days. I was sad. I was deeply heartbroken. But that just shows how much I actually care.
Yeah.
I do care that deeply. And roles since then that I've looked to do or been up for and lost, I will cry. And then I will pick myself back up and find another way. But I just want your listeners to know that I feel deeply. It isn't an outlook of like, oh, that's over. Well, all right, then the next thing. I'm not that girl. I'm a girl that feels everything. I do.
And that's good. You know, I mean, look, the thing about it is, too, and I think that's important because that when you shut those things down, if you know, and I've been around people who are just like done, okay, next, done, next, done, next.
Uh-huh.
You know, that becomes, you know, that's when the business of the business. It's like a stock trade, you know. And I can't look at it that way. Okay, good. Okay, lost $20. I'm going to do this. I lost $200. Okay, you know, that's not what this is. This is an emotionally invested.
Yeah.
Very powerful industry.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you said it is magical. There is nothing like, for me, that's when I realized I have a responsibility to the audiences. What are we doing?
Yes.
And this goes to the next question.
Okay.
We have like a minute and a half for our next break before the final segment, but I'll ask you this question. When you choose a script, this came in too, how do you choose? We have a minute. Great. I'm gonna do this, and then we'll go to the break, and then I want you to answer it when we come back.
Okay.
You know, some actors are like, you know, I'll just take anything because I want to work. I want to work. I want to go here. I want to do this, and I have to make the money because you know, I have friends that are like, I've got to go to Virginia to make this here. You know, and they leave their family. Look, I was in Korea for 2 months without my wife and my kids. Right. Some choices you got to make.
Yeah.
When you have a script, what is it? Or when something is presented to you, or an audition that is presented to you, what is it that excites you? And how do you make a choice on what you're going to audition for? So think about that. We're going to take our final break here. We're going to come right back with more amazing Jennifer Aspin. I mean, this has been incredible. So stay tuned, Jen. And what don't we want them to do?
Don't eat a Krispy Kreme donut. I'll just add to that. No sugar.
No sugar. All right. We'll be right back with more Star Power Hour. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Everybody has a dream. For some, that dream is to become an actor, comedian, or dancer. Others dream of signing a recording contract, being on Broadway, or directing their own film. Now those dreams can come true because on 4Talent.com, we turn the spotlight on talent. On 4talent.com, everyone can participate in online contests and festivals. Log on and get into exclusive interviews with industry experts, create personal scrapbooks and photo albums, plus communicate with other members who share your passions. So what are you waiting for? Whether you're an artist or a fan, sign up today. Membership is free. Join today, and you just might be one of the people who get to say,
I got my break on 4talent.com, and you can too.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
You are tuned in to Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4talent.com. Your host is James Barber. If you'd like more information about 4talent.com and what we do, just log on to our website at 4talent.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, I got to tell you, I snuck a Krispy Kreme donut while we were going. No, I'm kidding you. I had a banana. No, I'm not. I'm just sitting there. All right, so we asked that question. The question was, how do you choose a script? What is it that excites you, and what is it that makes you, you know, go, yes, this is something I want to do?
Such a great question. You know, ideally, you think, this is what I would like to do, and suddenly that script appears, and you're like, oh my God, in my mind, I just said I wanted to do something like this, and you read it, I read it, and I know that it's really something for me, because I fall in love. I get excited, and I fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
And rarely, if I don't have that reaction to it and I go in an audition, I rarely will get the job. Even if I go and give it a shot, if I don't have that, like, kind of fall in love with the thing and really start, like, thinking with this character and how I want to do it, and if I don't have that response to it, it's actually very difficult for me to audition and book a job, book that job, unless I have that response. So really, ideally, that's why I will pick a thing. Sometimes I will pick a thing to go in on because I think it's fantastic and the people are amazing. I may not have like a response to it as a character, but I'll still give it a shot because the people are great and I believe in the project. So sometimes that's why. Sometimes I go in on something because this is what I do as a job. This is, you know, I work, and sometimes you do have to take a job to take a job.
Yeah.
That's totally viable. We have families. We have things that we want to do in life, and this is what we do, right? So sometimes that happens, and sometimes you're pleasantly surprised because it's better than what you thought. And sometimes you're totally disappointed because in your mind you saw this sort of amazing project, and then you sort of get there and it's not as great as it was in your mind.
Yeah.
So I guess what I apply the most is that I like to find out. So I will go on auditions to find out, to meet the people, to find out, you know, when I do this performance for them, how they respond to it.
Yeah.
To sort of find out, what is this about? What is this project about? And how does it feel? Because sometimes you just don't know, you know?
Like, no, you have. You have no idea.
Yeah, like, I've auditioned for things I had no idea. I auditioned for Modern Family. I auditioned, you know, for the role that Julie ended up doing and is so brilliant in. I didn't know that was going to be, like, a giant fat hit. So sometimes you just don't know, and a lot of this is on faith. I mean, the reason I turn things down is if the script and material is degraded and disgusting.
Yeah.
Or it forwards some idea that I just cannot get behind.
Right. That's an important thing that I want you to talk about. Yeah.
That's a bar that I won't cross, because if I cross that bar, like, I will have pain in my chest. So,
yeah, like I do a lot of voiceovers, and I make it very clear that there are certain companies, not companies, but industries that I will not do a voiceover for.
Right.
Even if they pay $1 billion, I'm sorry, I'm just not going to do one for some antipsychotic drug or pharmaceutical. I'm just not going to do it because I know the effects that they
There's
have on
cancer. There's definitely a bar that I just won't.
Yeah. Well,
I can't get behind projects where the overall message is some kind of destruction for my fellow man. This is not going to happen.
Exactly.
So that's when I say no. Otherwise, unless it's like obviously a terrible project, I will go and find out what everybody's about, you know?
I think that's how I choose. Keeping your personal integrity. I love that question. So, hey, you had a question that came in for you, and then I have a final one for you. So what was the one that came in for you?
Someone came on Twitter. Let's see if I can find their handle. But their question was if I could do any project with any cast.
That was the one that I was going to ask you.
Oh, yes. It is? Oh,
yeah.
That's going to be your final question?
No, I love it.
Question?
So go ahead. We have plenty of time for it.
Okay, well, I really thought about it, and I was like, what would be my ideal cast? And
well, wait,
and
read the question, just so everybody knows. Let me read the question.
What?
Let me read the question so everybody knows.
Okay.
It says, it's Panda333 at the Twitter handle. It's, you're creating a new show, money's no object, what would be the genre, and who is your ideal cast?
Okay, well, I thought about this. By the way, I love Panda333. She definitely tweets to me a lot, and I enjoy that Twitterer. I really thought about this. I was like, okay, money's no object. It's HBO, it for sure. It's a 1-hour dramedy. Diane Wiest is playing my mother.
Awesome.
And Val Kilmer is playing my crazy ass boss.
Who's doing a show, by the way, on Mark Twain in the city here?
He is.
Yeah,
I saw that. I saw him. I mean, this guy is just, listen, I saw him on, it's not Extras, but it's the same guys that do Extras on HBO.
Yeah.
And it's the guy, the little people, you know, the little people, you know what I'm going to say, little
yeah,
people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he plays himself, and he's freaking nuts, and he was so hilarious. And I was like, oh, my God, I want to do a show with him where he's my boss. Diane Wiest is my mom. I'm like newly single Southern girl that's like come to the big city, and those are the people I'm working with. That to me right now would really be my ideal.
That would be hilarious.
It would be. Like, wouldn't it be great?
It would be great.
Yeah.
I wrote a pilot that I think you should do.
Okay.
We should get it done. It's sort of like that, but it's like this. It's about this girl who becomes a photographer. Anyway, I'll tell you about it later. But this was awesome. It's, you know, that's the cool thing. This is why I love doing this show, right? Because I just want to bring everybody on and just talk about stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and we go, you know, look, we went off on stuff that has nothing to do with the entertainment industry, but it does.
Yeah.
And here's my thing is that, you know, people look at you, you know, people look at Marisol, they look at Michelle Stavre, they look at, you know, I had Andy Fickman on, a buddy of mine who directed Parental Guidance, the movie, right? People look to these celebrities and these opinion leaders, Grant Cardone, not necessarily in the entertainment
industry.
I love
Grant Cardone.
Dude, he's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I said this to Marisol the other day. He got on and I'm like, you know, I was doing this thing, this show in New York, and this friend, I'm trying to motivate people, right? And this friend of mine said, well, I just want to make enough money, you know, just to get by. And I told Grant Delaney, he goes, that's a bunch of crap.
It is.
You know, because we put these blocks in our own way, right?
Yeah.
We put these, these conditions and these preconceived, you know, obstacles in our own way. But that's why I like it, because we're motivating people to think in a certain way. And it's not all, wow, she's on the red carpet. Wow, she's got this. She's got that. He's got this. Look at the money he's got. It's not about that. It's about human nature. It's about the spiritual presence of a person to move forward in life and help other people. And that's what I love about, you know, doing this show and bringing people on like you is that it's just so much fun.
I just want to add something to that, because I feel like, you know, the best in terms of helping other people just as a human being, because, you know, I used to think, oh, well, I can help other people when I'm in a more powerful position to do some good.
Right.
I used to think that. And it is true, like, you get to a certain point and you can definitely focus and you can do a lot with being in that position. But the thing that is very rewarding that you can do every day is just the checker at Trader Joe's. You can say hello to and be kind. Strangers, you can just be kind to them. the people you work with, you can be kind and listen to them.
Yeah.
And that kindness to just people that you run into during the day, it really soothes people because there is not enough of that. And when you are pouring that kindness forward, people are drinking it up, and it is such a relief when they are listened to and that they are acknowledged and that you see them.
Yeah.
And me doing that and practicing that in work and in life has been the most rewarding because you can see in a person's face, and the person does not need to know who I am at all. There's plenty of people that don't know who I am, right?
Sure.
And when you do that and you listen to a person and you go, "Nice to see you, thank you," it really changes a person's day.
It really does.
So you don't have to be in a powerful position to do good things in the world. You know, it's great, and we all, like, I'm like, I wish I played that giant lottery because I had big plans for that money. I was going to donate a lot of it, right?
Totally.
But that, you know, the greatest reward I've gotten is being able to see a person's face, be happy that I'm listening to them and saying thank you and please.
And I can't thank you enough for, you know, this is, we've got to close out the segment. I am so happy that we ended on that because that is truly the testament to who you are. It's a testament to what I want to bring to the world, and it's what I try to share as well. I want to share just your Twitter handle. It's at Jennifer C. Aspen on Twitter. I am at D. James Barber, and I am grateful that you came on. I hope you had a good time.
I really did. I thank you so much, and it was a pleasure to be on your show. You're a lovely man and a lovely talent, and I'm honored to be here.
Oh, you're awesome. All right, guys. So many thanks to Jennifer Aspen, and stay tuned next week. We're going to have another amazing Star Power Hour. I don't know how we're going to top this. I had Marisol and you on 2 weeks in a row. I am happy. I'm Happy Gilmore.
No,
all right, guys, stay tuned for next week. This is James Barber. Many thanks on the Star Power Hour on voiceamerica.com. Log on, tune in, don't eat a donut, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks again for tuning in this week. James Barber will be back next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4talent.com, the arts and entertainment social network on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Now go check out our site, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.